How are we all doing this morning? Ooh, clap. Oh, it's my son. Great. Son, you got me so excited. There we go. Okay, good, good, good. I'm glad God's blessing you. I do have some news, and I want to prepare you. It's going to be a little shocking. It might be upsetting for some, so just be prepared. Are you ready? Teenagers know everything. Oh, okay, good. Already had a good start today. Yes, teenagers know everything. At least that was what one young Tibetan teenager was convinced. Every time his father tried to tell him something, he was, oh, Dad, I know. And he would say even more, and he would go on to expand. And his father was trying to teach him, you know, how to be a good farmer, how to live a good life, how to be a good man. And every time his father would say something, Dad, I know. And finally, the father, out of frustration, says, I can't teach you anything. You're going to go up to the Buddhist monastery. See if the monks can have a better opportunity to teach you. So he goes there, and, you know, he starts with the entry monk that's supposed to be training the newer monks, and he can't teach him anything. I know. And he's constantly talking, and he just won't shut his mouth, and he won't listen. So finally, he works through the ranks of monks that are supposed to be training him, and he finally gets to the chief one that's supposed to be the best at teaching. And as he walks into the room, the monk is completely silent, but all he sees is one teacup and another teacup, and in the middle, a pot of hot tea, steaming. And the monk picks up his teacup. So, of course, the young boy, out of tradition, picks up his teacup as well. And the monk pours himself a cup of tea and then reaches across the table to pour tea into the teenager's cup, and he starts pouring and pouring and pouring, and he doesn't stop pouring, and it's just flowing over this teacup, and this young teenager is screaming at the monk, what are you doing, this hurts, what are you doing, stop pouring. He said, how can I pour into your cup if it's already full? And the teenager got it. How are you going to get wisdom if your cup is already so full that nobody can pour anything else into it? We're in the book of Proverbs today, where we're going to talk about this one simple fact. The fool speaks while the wise person listens. The fool speaks and the wise person listens. This book was written with a purpose of passing wisdom on from somebody who had already listened to wisdom beforehand, passing that wisdom on to the next generation. And in order for this book to do what it was designed to do, you've got to listen to it. You've got to give it a fair hearing. Use your discernment. Mull it over. Think it through. Even if what you read in this book is hard to understand or you disagree with it, stew on it for a while. And in one word, listen. Listen. We miss so much wisdom and mountains of knowledge, oceans of understanding, because we simply are not taking the time or exerting the effort to listen, to open our ears. That's the secret to finding wisdom, not only in this book, but in all of life, listening. But why? Might I offer to you that the first part of it is that listening empties us of our foolishness? Listening, really listening, gives foolishness the eviction notice in our life. Proverbs 18:13 says this: if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. In other words, if you give an answer to a situation or you respond to someone before you've gotten all the information, that's evidence of foolishness. You need to listen. You need to take more time to assimilate information, because some people's minds are an open door. Anyone can get in. And anything can get out. If nothing else, listening gives you time to mull over and rethink what you were going to say, what you are saying, so that you can take time and go, no, that's actually a really stupid thing to say. Gentlemen, free piece of advice for your marriage counseling, all right? Listen. Understand. And then that thing that you would have said that would have landed you on the couch for tonight might not come out. But how many times do we do that just with our friends, with any relationship? We are more focused on responding rather than listening. This shuts the door on foolishness. Foolishness may still get out, but at least it has to kick down the door of listening to get out. Proverbs goes on in 10:8 says this, "The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin." See, if we're going to listen to the voice of wisdom and follow her path, it is going to make a difference in how we respond to correction. Even when it is really hard to listen to someone because they're confronting you and they're telling you you're wrong, if I come to you and say you are wrong, immediately our response is, what? No, I'm not. Here's why I'm right. We immediately go on the defensive. But if we immediately are thinking, okay, I need to listen to this person, maybe they're right, maybe I am wrong, that's how we assimilate wisdom. Because foolishness is just closing the door on anything that could be wisdom and opening the door on anything that we feel is wise, and that leads to foolishness. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, Proverbs 12:1 tells us. But, and I didn't write this one, this is in the Bible, he who hates reproof is stupid. Boy, isn't that just such a loving verse? Literally calling people stupid. The love of being trained and doing life right is a sign that you love knowledge, but hating correction is a sign that someone is stupid. And the word here is used for somebody who is acting like a bull, somebody who's acting like a beast in the field. I'm going to do what I want. Don't try to direct me any way, shape, or form. I'm just going to do whatever I want. Like a beast, brutish. The opposite of knowledge, it's more than just ignorance. It's allowing that ignorance to frame and shape your every decision and action. To put it as frankly as this proverb, you are being a moron. If you are willing to stick with your foolishness instead of listening to wise advice and counsel, you're an idiot. Ain't nobody got time for idiots. You're missing an opportunity to empty yourself of foolishness. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. If we jump back to chapter 18. Because those who pride themselves in knowledge, they often avoid correction. Because here's the thing. If you are convinced that your value, your prestige, your everything is summed up in what you know, how readily are you going to take correction? You're not. Because your pride is getting the better of you and saying, if I am wrong, oh no, I am losing value. You're welcoming foolishness and pride rather than true wisdom. Rather than saying, look, I can be wrong and admit it. So I want to give a little picture of this morning. What's this? A pitcher, right? What is its purpose? To hold a liquid, right? But see, foolishness takes that and says, no, I'm not going to let it in. I'm not going to let it in. I'm not going to let it in. I'm shutting the door to this because I don't like it. I like my dry. It doesn't keep its purpose. It doesn't hold liquid. That's foolishness. Every time that we say, I'm not going to take wise advice, I'm not going to take wise counsel, we are literally letting go our purpose, because a wise person is meant to receive, not taking pleasure in understanding, not taking pleasure in correction. That is a sign of a fool. How are we going to gain wisdom if you're not open to it? How can we gain wisdom if we don't have a way for it to get in? Friend, the best way to get wisdom is to be open to correction. There is no way to get it right if you're not willing to admit where you've got it wrong. What's the best teacher, success or failure? Failure. We all know it, but every one of us is afraid of it, aren't we? We should be rejoicing. Thank you. I have learned something. Thank you. Because listening not only empties us of our foolishness, if all we are is an empty pitcher, we no longer have foolishness. We'd still be wanting. Listening actually fills us with wisdom. When we are open to hearing others, we are open to receiving wisdom. Proverbs 12:13 says this, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." See, even when wise advice is offered, the fool, he's not going to listen to it. He's not going to change his actions. He believes his own ideas are perfect. He's satisfied with his own opinion. The fool listens only to himself, but the wise one, he hears wise counsel and follows it. He's open to listening for the voice of wisdom. You know, I used to have a t-shirt that said, "I'm not opinionated, I'm just always right." Some of us don't need the t-shirt. We walk around with that message all over our face, every conversation. You know the person I'm talking about, and if you don't know the person I'm talking about, it's you. Where I'm not opinionated, I'm just right. Everything I think is always right. You can't prove me wrong. By the way, that's one of the reasons I didn't want to become a pastor as a young kid. Because many pastors that I knew, not every single one of them, but many pastors I knew were bald, fat, and opinionated. So far, I still have my hair. I'm working really hard not to get fat, but I think the opinionated just comes with the territory where it comes across that way. But in reality, being opinionated is not being able to be wrong. So you're never able to grow. You are stunted in your growth because as you are now is as you think you should be. You're not going to grow. At the very beginning of this book, we are told this whole point. He said, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant for your soul." See, wisdom only comes to us if we are willing to do the hard work of listening, to be humble enough to be open and receive it, to embrace the discomfort of seeing where we're wrong so that we can correct course and be made right. See, God speaks wisdom in even the most unexpected places. Parents, how many times does your kid say something and go, "Wow, that was way smarter than you should know at this point"? Or that person that I actually had like a 2-hour-long conversation with, a guy that owns a lumber yard in Wollaston. And that man had more wisdom in him than some seminary professors. You know how many books he's read about the Bible? The Bible. Unexpected places. And if I had been in a rush about my day and going, "Man, I got stuff I got to do," and not been open to just listen to this guy, I would have missed a lot of really good wisdom. God speaks wisdom in unexpected places. Wisdom speaks everywhere. The question is, are you listening? When we listen for wisdom, we will find it in every conversation, every experience, every moment. Now, let me be very clear. We are told to be open-minded. And yes, we should be open to opinions that are different than ours, but we shouldn't be so open-minded that our brain falls out. Okay? We should not be that far. This proverb would caution you, don't be too open-minded. We need to be discerning. We need to listen, discern, and grow, okay? Remember what we talked about a couple weeks ago. Those of you that weren't here, go back and listen to the message, traps, proofs of foolishness. Sorry, not traps. That was another one. Listen to all of these. I wouldn't be preaching if I didn't think you didn't need to hear it, but we need to think through those filters that we had with proofs of foolishness. Is this calling me to real effort, or is this telling me to rest easy? Is this giving me correction more than comfort? Is this telling me to fear God or to feel good? Is this challenging me to give rather than to take? Is this leading to life rather than death? We do need to have a filter, okay? You know, we have this modern technology of Brita or pure filtered pitchers, and I love it, where you can pour absolutely horrible bog water in the top, and you've got beautiful, delicious spring water in the bottom. It's miraculous. I love it. And that's what we need to be with our mind. The wisdom is there to be had if you're willing to put forth the effort of listening and filtering. Taking these Proverbs to heart, we will be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry because our anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. Can I submit to you that we aren't being discerning or wise, and that's why so many of us are angry at things that make no difference in eternity? Can I submit that to you just for your own life? Not about other people, for us. I'm getting angry over stupid things. I'm brutish. What does it take to tick a bull off? Little movement. But have you ever tried to tick off a cow? I'm just going back to my food. You know, there's some wisdom in that. We don't just accumulate wisdom for ourselves, though. Listening empties us of knowledge or of foolishness, but listening also fills us with wisdom. See, we get filled when we are listening, when we are open to it. We are filling, but see, here's the thing. If you keep getting filled with wisdom, something happens. It overpours. And you can't contain it all. And you end up pouring into others. See, while wisdom, listening, fills us with wisdom, at the same time, by the way, y'all are thinking I'm pouring this stuff on the stage, there actually is a bucket that it's all going into. Because I can just see some of the actors going, what is he doing to our set? Listening gives us something to pour into others. Listening gives us something to pour into others. All this time that others have been pouring into us, it should result in wisdom flowing out of us into the lives of others. Think about the wisest person you know. My bet is they don't talk a lot. You know, it's really hard to say in front of people you shouldn't talk a lot when it's your job to speak a lot. But here's the truth of it. It gives you something to pour into others. For every minute that I'm preaching, there has been an hour of listening, okay? I'm not even joking. Proverbs 10:17 says this, whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof, remember, that's the fool, leads others astray. It means you're going to be a guide. Your wisdom is a guide for others. You've been down a path and you can tell them, no, don't go that one. That's the way that leads astray. Here is the truth. See, refusing to display knowledge, that is a sign of humility where you're not just showing off how smart you are. But humility doesn't mean that we never speak. It means that we speak up for others. We speak to benefit and build up others. The one who listens to correction earns the right to teach and give correction, but the fool has lost that right because he has rejected all correction. He hasn't grown. I mean, can you imagine a fitness trainer that weighs 90 pounds sopping wet and who only eats junk food, doesn't lift weight a day in his life, and then in walks in a 200-pound jacked guy, yeah, teach me how to pick things up and put them down. No, he hasn't earned the right. The fool that is stunted in his growth because he won't listen, he won't let wisdom in. He has lost the right to tell anybody else how to grow. But when you listen, when you are learning from others and from everything, you have the opportunity to help people become even better. Proverbs 25:12 says this, like gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Not just a reprover, a wise reprover. So let me ask you, the fool. Remember, this is the fool. Oh, yes, you have wisdom, but I'm not going to let it in. So here's the thing. When it comes time to pour into others, you might have a couple sprinkles. but it's going to dry up real fast. But when wisdom keeps pouring in, even from people that look like clowns, wisdom pours in, wisdom will be pouring out. And it will be flowing into others. You won't be able to contain it. You keep listening, you will continue to have the right. You will continue to have the wisdom. You will continue to have the resources that people are hungry for if you listen. It's going to give something worthwhile to that person. When we refuse wisdom, we have none to give others. But when we are listening for wisdom, it'll give us plenty to share with others. See, here's the truth of it. You can only pour into others what you have first been filled with. What are you letting in? Are you letting wisdom in? Make your words worth listening to. Fill them with wisdom. Don't just speak for the sake of speaking. Don't just speak because you think you got to say something. Speak when you've got something to say. In order to fill your words with wisdom, you must first fill your mind and heart with it. So now we have to deal with a real practical question. How? How do we do this? I mean, listening, you're talking like it's just an easy thing, but let's be honest, it is actually a challenge, isn't it? Because there's a lot of voices speaking to us. Who do we listen to? When? Where? How? Remember those filters that we talked about, the proofs of foolishness. And it begins with God. But how can we listen for wisdom's voice? May I recommend that the first step is keeping quiet? It's difficult to hear when you're busy trying to be heard. When you can't hear others over the shout of your own voice. Proverbs 17:28 tells us, "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." As the old saying goes, it's better to be thought a fool and remain quiet than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And how many of us fail this one? See, the ancient sages, they didn't talk about being understood in the way that we did, that it's more important to understand than be understood, but they did understand that sometimes, out of respect for others, the best thing to do is be silent. Sometimes silence speaks better than word. Silence speaks a more eloquent message than any silver tongue could ever speak. It is a message of respect to those who would teach us. And knowledge kept hidden is opposite of knowledge that puffs up. This is a sign of wisdom and humility. Silence is an eloquent message. Every act and every word we choose shows what we have been filled with. So let me ask you, what do your words say about you? Or better yet, what does your silence say about you? That you're open to wisdom, or that your cup is already full? This goes beyond just preserving our reputation, though. Proverbs 21:23 says, "Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble." Look, if you're going to keep yourself out of trouble, you got to first keep your mouth from taking you into it. Keeping this thing shut is a great idea. There are times we do need to speak up, though, when wisdom says, now is the time to speak. Wisdom that begins in the heart listens first. It's open to teaching, while the heart that lacks wisdom shows itself by the folly that pours out of the lips. The wise are silent. They learn from commands, while fools' lips are too busy rambling on about whatever they're thinking about in the moment. Hosea warned that a people without understanding will come to ruin. Failure to listen marks the path of wickedness and foolishness. Failure to listen. Keep it shut. As I said, it's difficult to hear when you're busy trying to be heard. It's hard to listen when you are busy speaking. Either your ears are open or your mouth, but you can't have both at the same time. You will never learn wisdom. We will never learn wisdom if all we do is keep talking. We need to listen. Once we have learned the art of keeping quiet, now we are ready to keep listening. Keep listening. Keep quiet. Keep listening. Don't ever stop this. Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to advice and keep instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. This is an ongoing process. It's not just like you listen for the first 18 years of your life and then you've earned the right to just speak whatever you want. I don't care if you are 8 months old or 8,000 years old, you still have the privilege of listening to wisdom's voice everywhere around you. And you will grow in wisdom to the extent that you are open to it. You'll progress in wisdom to the extent that you are expecting to encounter it. If you are open to it everywhere, you will grow from everything. But if you are only open to wisdom in a few small areas in life, those are the only small areas you're going to grow, if at all. Because some people, some of us, never really engage in dialogue. It's always monologue with someone else. They're only waiting for the other person to stop speaking so they can insert their next line. Friends, that's not listening. Truly listen. Listen to understand what the other person is saying rather than being understood. Listen for the sake of understanding them. I know this seems like common sense, but how often is this the way the conversation goes? We're having a conversation with Charlie Brown's teacher. Ooh, there's a silence. Now is when I insert what I'm going to say. And that's all we hear is, womp, 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 womp. Never, hey, I got to tell you something. My teenage son, he thinks he knows everything. You got a cup of tea or something? We never actually listen to the conversation. We're just ready for the next line that we want to talk about. And it's all about us. Listen with anticipation that they are going to convey something to you that God has ordained for you, that God has chosen to pour wisdom into your life from this person. Every single person you talk to is an eternal soul that God can use to speak to you. If he can use Balaam's donkey, he can use this person. So why aren't we listening more? Why aren't I listening more? This is not just me pointing fingers at you. I've got them all pointed at me. So let me ask that question a little better. Why don't I listen more? We need to truly listen. Keep quiet. Keep listening. And keep learning. Look, none of us have arrived. You might be further down the path of wisdom than others, but none of us have reached our final destination. Keep learning. Proverbs 19:27 says this, cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. The day we stop listening is the day we stop learning. The day we stop learning is the day we stop growing. The day we stop growing is the day we start dying. My great-grandfather, he was one of 12 children. They all grew up on a farm. And he said something to me when I was young. He died when I was young. But I still remember this phrase that he told me, and it stuck with me. If you ever go a day without learning something, you wasted the day. Keep learning. And if he, at I think he was, what, 97 at the time, could say that and prove it by the way he lived, maybe I can't outlive that advice. And here it is. Stop hearing instruction, my son. By the way, that's training in wisdom. Stop hearing instruction, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Saying you are either continuing to grow in wisdom, or you are stepping away from reason, logic, knowledge, philosophy, whatever you want to call that last bit of it. You are stepping away from anything that is sane. So, to put the how in the easiest way I could think to remember, the easiest way to wise up is to shut up, listen up, and keep it up. If you want to be a little nicer, you can say hush up for the first one. Hush up, listen up, keep it up. That's how you wise up. But keep listening. Listen for wisdom, and you will find the wisdom of listening. We have today communion. And this is not something that we're just tacking on. Okay, we're talking about Proverbs, but we've also got communion, so we also have to do that. No. There's something significant that happens here that I don't want you to miss. I'm going to ask those who are serving to come forward. We're going to continue our normal way that we have done communion now, where those in the center aisle or center sections, you're going to come down the... Everybody's going to come down these two aisles, okay? Then you're going to return. If you're in the center section, you're going to return in the center aisle. If you're on either of the wings, you're going to fan out and go to the opposite side, okay? You're going to go down the far side from where you are. Now, this ceremony, this communion, is nothing magical, nor even supremely mystical. This does not change substance. This is still wine. This is still unleavened bread. No, it's actually Welch's grape juice, by the way. But this is a celebration of what Christ did for us, and there is wisdom in it for us. Luke chapter 22, verse 14, says this, "And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." That's the setting. He's around the table with his disciples, with his followers, who have spent 3 years of their life with him, listening to his wisdom, hearing wisdom, being open to his wisdom for 3 years. That's the setting. Have you been listening to the wisdom of God for years? If you have, this is vitally important. Did they get it? As we are partaking in this, as you're sitting, I'm going to invite you to a time of meditation to listen to the choir. To think, am I listening for the voice of wisdom in Christ? Even in the familiar. Far too often, it's those things that are familiar to us that we think we have gotten every bit of wisdom out of it that we can. What if there's something else for us that we might have missed for years?
God sent your dear
So as Jesus is sitting in this room with his disciples, he's about to reach the final point of his ministry on earth. He had been sharing the message for 3 years. He had been telling them what he was about to do and what was about to take place. Time and again, he had spoken truth, and he was speaking wisdom. So as they sit in the room with him, they are sitting with wisdom incarnate. Did they get it? Well, the next 24 hours after this would show they didn't. He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may eat. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. You may drink." But he doesn't stop there. As they were drinking the cup, he says, "But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he has been betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who's going to do this. Don't miss this. Had Judas listened to Jesus, would he have betrayed him? I can't say. Was it all part of God's design? Absolutely. I don't know if it would have changed if he had listened, but here's the startling fact. That you can be in the same room with the highest knowledge and not realize it. That you could be at the same table as divine understanding, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to recognize it. That you could be sitting right next to wisdom and completely miss it. Are we listening? Are we listening for the voice of wisdom? Judas certainly wasn't, and that's what led him to where he was. Are you listening? Look, as you go, keep listening. Keep quiet. Keep listening. Keep learning. As you go, keep your ears open. Listen for wisdom, for the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Listen and go in peace.